Allez, écoute. My sincere gratitude at the lotus feet of all of the worshipable Vaishnavas who have assembled today in this holy place, Sri Rameshwaram. Tomorrow, we will be leaving in the early morning for a very important holy place. Because of time restraints, we will not have the opportunity to give much of a lecture there. So I will briefly describe the significance of this place this evening. I will begin in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is made available to the entire world by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are reading from Madhya Lila, Chapter 9. After thus assuring the Brahman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded further into southern India and finally arrived at Durvasan, where he bathed in the river Kritamala. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Presently, this Kritamala river is known as the river Bhagai. This river has three tributaries. Named Suruli, Varahanadi, and Batilagundu. The river Kritamala is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam by the sage Karabhajan. Durvasani Raghunate Koila Darshan Mahindra Shaile Parasurama Koil Vandan. At Durvasan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramchandra. And on the hill known as Mahendra Shaila, he saw Lord Parasuram. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Durvasan, or Darbashayan, there is a temple of Lord Ramchandra located 7 miles east of Ramanada. The temple overlooks the ocean. The hill known as Mahendra Shaila is near Tinibeli. Tomorrow, we will be visiting Durvasana. In order to understand the geography of Setubandha or Rameshwaram, it is necessary to understand this pastime. Some days back, we presented the narration of Lord Sri Ramchandra who, upon seeing the vast ocean, lamented in separation from Sita. at Kishkindha Kshetra, Hanumanji reported to Sri Ram the exact whereabouts of Sita Devi. And a graphic description of the fortified domain of Ravana on the Trikuta mountain in Sri Lanka. After making strategic plans, they immediately departed from Kishkindha. Tens and millions of monkey soldiers marching with Hanuman carrying Sri Ramchandra and Angada carrying Lakshman, leading the way. Then they came to the seaside. Hanumanji was the only one of all of those monkey soldiers who had the strength to leap across that ocean. How to bring the army there? This was a great dilemma. Ramchandra saw that between him and Sita was an ocean that seemed impassable. Thus he lamented. In separation, it was at Durbhashana that this took place. It's about 57 kilometers from here on the way to Madurai, where we will be going tomorrow. It was here that Sri Ramchandra was feeling that intense separation from Sita. And at that time, Vibhishan surrendered to Ramchandra. Between here and Dhanushkoti is the place where Ramchandra coronated Vibhishan as the ruler of Lanka. It was in Durbhashana that Vibhishan came down from the air, prostrated himself at the lotus feet of Sri Ram, and surrendered his life, leaving behind his home, his family, his wealth, his position, his numerous friends, everything, to take shelter of Sri Ram. Vibhishan was asked, "How do you suggest we can cross the ocean?" Vibhishan gave his advice that I believe that Lord Sri Ram should personally invoke the presence of Samudra, the presiding deity of the sea, and he will show the way. Durvashana is the place that Ramchandra laid Durva grass on the ground on the shore of the sea. And he sat there fasting and praying for 3 days and 3 nights, invoking the presence of the ocean. But Samudra did not appear. It was at Durvashana that Ramchandra became so angry with the arrogance of this demigod, that with flaming red eyes, he drew his bow, shot arrows into that ocean, creating massive waves, creating such heat
that steam was forming clouds as it ascended from the ocean. The aquatics were screaming in pain. The whole ocean was agitated.
Ramchandra then took a golden arrow and invoked Brahmastra. And when he stood like death personified, there were massive waves like mountains forming. The ocean receded 10 miles. It was then that Samudra appeared with folded palms and surrendered to Sri Ram. It was at Durvasana that the ocean told Ram that Nala, the monkey soldier who was the son of Vishwakarma, he had the capacity to create a bridge and design that would give passage to Lanka. And Samudra would support and give no obstacles. It was there from Durvasana that the bridge began. Nala commanded all of the monkey soldiers to bring gigantic rocks, gigantic trees. They piled them on the shore till there were mountains of such materials. And by the grace of Sri Ram and by the love of all of these devotees, all the rocks and trees floated effortlessly. In a matter of 5 days, they built a bridge out of rocks, trees, bound together tightly with creepers and vines. It was 80 miles wide and 800 miles long. Has any man ever made a bridge like that in history? And where we are sitting is part of that bridge. Durvasana was the seashore, and the bridge went from there all the way to Sri Lanka. There were so many monkey soldiers. Not only did they cover the whole bridge, every inch of it, all the way from Sri Lanka, where Vibhishan and his four ministers were protecting that end of the bridge from any rakshasas to create any problems. And after some time, they were all the way, 800 miles in Sri Lanka. The entire bridge was swarming and swarming with multitudes of gigantic monkey soldiers holding trees and rocks as weapons and just roaring in anger toward Ravana. And plus, on the shore at Durvasana, still, there was like another ocean of monkeys there. It was a huge army. So after the battle was fought, Ravana was liberated from his lusty mentality by the grace of Ram. Sita was returned to Ram. They came back to this place, which was part of the bridge. What is that called? Land reclamation from the sea? And Vibhishan, being coronated as the king of Lanka, he requested Ram that it's very dangerous to have this bridge for his ruling of Sri Lanka. So please break this bridge so that people cannot have free access back and forth. So it was a Dhanushkoti that Ramchandra placed his bow. And with his bow, he effortlessly cut the bridge. He cut it in an arched bow shape from Dhanushkoti all the way back to Durvasana. Yes? Which includes here. Therefore, from Durvasana to Dhanushkoti, this land region is called Setu Bandha, because it is actually what remains of the bridge created by Sri Ramchandra, Hanuman, and all of the monkeys. And it was here that, to worship and show his love for his devotee, Sri Ramchandra installed the deity of Rameshwar, Lord Shiva, and worshipped him. So tomorrow we will be going to Durvasana, where the bridge began. Where Ram humbled the ocean, and where Vibhishan surrendered his life to Shiva. And we'll be seeing some beautiful temple of Lord Ram lying down on the Durba grass fasting. Yes? And while we're there, we'll get nice tour. So please be very much in a grateful and attentive state of mind when we reach Durvasana tomorrow, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from there, we will be going to Rishabh Hill, which we discussed. Lord Chaitanya, that is where he first met Paramananda Puri, and it is also the place of Lord Rishabhdev, the father of Maharaj Bharat. And it's a very, very holy and beautiful place. And from there, we must go into the crowded metropolitan city of Madurai, which happens to be the second most populated city in Tamil Nadu after Chennai. So tomorrow there will be some, let us say, time restraints in Durvasana, Rishabh Hill, and then to Madurai, because I'll have to relocate into new hotels and guest houses, dharamshalas, ashrams, wherever you're staying. And it's a city. So be prepared for some devotional service in the mood of patience, tolerance, forgiveness, gratitude, and it's very easy if you just keep your mind on the holy name of the Lord. With your permission, I will speak something more continuing Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour. From Durvasana, the next place Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came was Dhanushkoti. He took his bath there and then came to worship the deity of Rameshwar, Mahadev. Many of you took your baths in the 22 Tirthas today. 22 Tirthas plus the ocean and Dhanushkoti, these 24 baths are very sacred. And after taking these baths,
To have the darshan and offer your prayers to Rameshwar Mahadev is considered a very pleasing act of devotional service. So I hope you are all very happily purified today. So nice seeing thousands of devotees running around soaking wet. Very nice. It's very humbling, especially. It's actually not humbling, but amusing to see these aristocratic people of Bombay just running around soaking wet in public. Soaked with holy waters. From Rameshwaram, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited so many holy places. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami admits that Lord Chaitanya visited every holy place. And in South India, there are so many holy places, big holy places, little holy places, famous holy places, unknown holy places, some holy places only Lord Chaitanya knew. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was establishing holy places. Factually, wherever he placed his lotus foot became a holy place. Eventually, he came to Kanyakumari, which is the southernmost part of the subcontinent of India. After this yatra ends, the brahmacharis and sannyasis are going to begin another yatra. We wanted everyone to come, but by Krishna's arrangement, it didn't work out like that. So we'll be going to Kanyakumari, where again two oceans are meeting, the Indian Ocean and the Arabian Sea. And it's very nice. You're right at a point. India just ends with a point, and you're standing at a point surrounded on three sides by ocean, vast ocean. And the sunset there is very beautiful. I'm sure Lord Chaitanya saw the sunset when he was there. I was there some years ago, and as the sun was setting, there was hundreds and hundreds of people just standing on this little thin tip of India. They're all standing there watching the sunset. It was like a meditation, like a holy form of worship. And it's actually amazing how the sun sets there. It's just going down very slow, and it's very big size sun, and it just merges into the ocean, a sunset, very extraordinary. And when the upper edge of the sun descended into the ocean, everyone there cried out, Suryadev ki jai! That's how they end the day in Kanyakumari. We'll be chanting Maha Mantra. From Kanyakumari, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, the brahmacharis will be going to the Adi Keshava temple. And then we will go to Ananta Padmanabh temple and Janardhan temple in Trivandrum and Barakala. And what I think will be done is the brahmacharis will go on behalf of the whole congregation. So through them you will enjoy all these holy places. But we know you have to get back to your work and your families and your school and your in-laws. You have so many exciting, ecstatic duties to perform. So Bhagavad Gita says, better to perform your own duty than to perform God's. From Kanyakumari, Lord Chaitanya went to Adikeshav Temple. First he bathed in the very holy river Payaswini. The Payaswini River is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes in these rivers of South India, Kritamala, Payaswini, Kaveri, many great purified saintly Vaishnavas will be born. Lord Chaitanya blissfully bathed in Payaswini River, just like the brahmacharis will do on January 7th. And then from there, he visited Adikeshav Temple. Adikeshav is very much in the same mood as Ranganath. He's Mahavishnu, laying down in his yoga nidra on Ananta Shesha in the company of Lakshmi Devi. Beautiful murti. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic to see the beauty of Adikesha. He was so happy. In front of the deity, he danced and danced and danced in bliss, loudly chanting the holy name. Even today, this temple is not in a town, it is not in a city, there are no shops around it. It's just in a countryside of very peaceful, quiet fields with a river flowing beside it. Beautiful place. But still, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, all the villagers from all places coming, they all heard about his presence. And when they saw the beauty of his golden form with tears of ecstasy flowing from his eyes, their hearts melted in ecstatic love of God. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced everyone to surrender to Krishna and chant his holy names. In Adikeshav Temple, he met Brahmins who were pure devotees, very great devotees. And he had discussion with them. And while he was there, one of the most historical events of Gaudiya Vaishnava history manifested. It is written in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we are benefiting from this event practically every day. One of my godbrothers once did research of who Prabhupada quoted the most in his books and in his lectures, besides Krishna. He quotes Krishna the most, and Vedavyasa, of course. But besides quoting, as far as great devotees, the person Prabhupada cites most and quotes his verses is Lord Brahma. It was at the Adikeshava Temple that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered a scripture that was lost to the world. But there happened to be one copy, an ancient manuscript, in this temple. It was Brahma Samhita. The fifth chapter. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this being sung and studied it carefully, he considered, this is the crest jewel of literatures. It is an essential literature for all Vaishnavas. It perfectly establishes the principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. It describes the supremacy of Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, as the original fountainhead of all personalities of Godhead. It describes in such wonderful terms, philosophically, the relationship between Krishna and Mahavishnu. Krishna Karanak Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu, Krishna and Lord Shiva, Mahadev, Surya, Ganesh, Durga. And it describes the glories of pure devotional service. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only by eyes that are ornamented with love can we see Krishna, Shyam Sundar, as he is. It describes the supreme glory of Goloka Vrindavan in relationship to the material world. Maheshdham, Vaikunthadham. It describes the Lord in relationship to his various incarnations like Sri Ramchandra. All of this is in the Vedic scriptures. But Lord Brahma, who is the original father of all living beings, the original guru of this universe, and from whom Krishna manifested all the Vedas, he just took the essence of all the Vedic scriptures and spoke so eloquently in the form of the song, Brahma Samhita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was ecstatic. Immediately upon seeing this treasure of a literature, Lord Chaitanya copied it. Copied the entire fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita and kept it with him as a great treasure. So on behalf of all of the assembled devotees, the brahmacharis will be chanting Brahma Samhita with great love at the Adi Keshav temple. And someday, if you like, we will take full yatra there also. Beautiful place, wonderful place. From Adi Keshav temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled by foot to Trivandrum. And there he visited Ananta Padmanab. Glorious temple. Huge temple. And there again, Lord Vishnu is laying down on Ananta Shesha, being worshipped by Lakshmi. But I believe Ananta Padmanab, he's so big, this deity. How many of you have been there? To have his darshan, you have to look through three different doors. There's three altars, doors. One door, you have darshan of his feet. Then you travel some distance to the next door, and you have darshan of his waist and chest. And then you travel a little way and to the next door, and you have darshan of his beautiful face. That is Ananta Padmanabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent several days there dancing in transcendental ecstasy while chanting the holy name. From Bhananta Padmanabh Mandir, Lord Chaitanya traveled to a village called Varakala. It's a very simple village, surrounded by coconut trees. There is the temple of Janardhan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in ecstatic love, worshiped this beautiful deity of Janardhan. For several days he remained there with his arms raised, dancing and chanting and inducing all the village people of that locality to surrender to the Harinam Sankirtan party. From Varakala, after worshipping Lord Janardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Sringeri Math, which is the world headquarters of Sripad Shankaracharya. Now all Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says is Lord Chaitanya saw Sringeri Math. So I cannot speak too much more than that. But we know Sripad Shankaracharya was an avatar of Lord Shiva, who was specially, the scriptures describe, he was specially sent by Lord Vishnu to descend in the age of Kali for several reasons. One reason was to accelerate the effects of Kali by creating this Mayavad philosophy. He would appear as if in the form of a Brahmin boy. Another reason, besides creating a system of word jugglery that would delude people from surrendering to the personality of Godhead, he also was part of a chronological system, because he was Mahadev, he was Shiva, he's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And most of the places that Lord Shankaracharya worship are places of Krishna. In Badrikashram, he worships Badri Vishal, who's Vishnu. In Dwarka, he started a math where he worships Dwarkadish. In Jagannath Puri, his Govardhan Math, he worships Jagannath. So Shankaracharya, after Lord Vishnu appeared as Buddha to establish nonviolence and expose the corrupt Brahmins who were, in the name of the Vedas, propagating illegal animal slaughter, he established ahimsa, meditation, and very high standards of morality. But in the process, he had to deny the Vedas, which were so grossly misinterpreted. But it was Lord Shiva who appeared as Shankaracharya, who with such brilliance re-established the authority of the Vedas throughout the whole of India and literally drove the nihilistic Buddhists out of the country. And that actually established the platform which Sripad Ramanujacharya, Yamunacharya, Madhvacharya, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could actually establish what is the essence of the Vedas?
Sarva dharman puritjyajyamam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masaj.
To surrender to Krishna, the personality of Godhead.
So therefore, although devotees, we do not listen to Mayavad philosophy. Swarup Damodar Goswami explained to Bhagavad Acharya, whose relative had written some beautiful poems, beautiful poetically, but they were tinged with Mayavad. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, when a devotee hears Mayavad philosophy, his heart or her heart breaks. Because Mayavad means that everything except the impersonal Brahman is Maya. Krishna's form is illusion. Krishna's qualities are illusion. Krishna's pastimes are illusion. Krishna's abode are ultimately illusion. Krishna's holy name is ultimately illusion. Anything that has form, anything that has substance is an illusion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking about Prakasananda Saraswati to Murari Gupta, he said, this sannyasi in Varanasi, through his words, through the philosophy he's teaching, he's cutting the limbs of the Lord. He's cutting off the head of the Lord, the limbs of the Lord. He's extinguishing the very identity and personality of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Mukunda, he said, Mukunda, he associates with devotees, then he associates with Mayavadis. What is that like? To God, that is like, it's like going to a Brahmin, touching his feet, and then picking up a club and smashing him on the head.
Hare Krishna.
That is Mukunda. I never want to see his face.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya said that even a person in a very advanced state of Krishna consciousness, if he opens his heart with some submissiveness to hear Mayavad philosophy, fall down. Even from the spiritual platform, that is how powerful this Mayavad philosophy is. Because the tendency of the soul in its when we misuse our independence is to want to be the enjoyer. And Mayavad philosophy is telling that devotional service is ultimately an illusion. You can practice devotional service for some time to get purified, but once you're purified, you don't need it anymore. You have to go beyond it. Yes? You use an instrument to take a disease situation out of your body, and then you throw the disease out and throw the instrument away. You don't need it once you're pure, once you're cured. Devotional service is just a means of purification. But once you're purified, forget the name of God. Forget the path of bhakti. You've done it. You've made it.
Hare Krishna.
This philosophy breaks the heart of a devotee. Not only does it break the heart of a devotee, but it has the power of creating a great disturbance to our service attitude. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching Sanatana Goswami, the first teaching that he established, the foundation of all knowledge that he was going to build upon, was Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das, that we are eternal servants of Krishna. We're not Ram Das until we become Ram. That is the Mayavad conception. You'll be Ram Das. But then when you perfect being Das, you become Ram.
Hare Krishna.
But a devotee wants to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord forever. So we do not accept the Mayavad philosophy that Shankaracharya taught. But we honor, we worship, and we love him. We adore him. Because he taught it under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the greatest Vaishnav. And at the end of his career, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Buddham. He told his followers, just worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, you fools and rascals. All this world, all this word jugglery that I have given you is not going to save you at the time of death. Hare Krishna. So Mahaprabhu saw Sringeri Math. That's really all I can say about it. And then from there, Lord Chaitanya went, I forgot. Previous to Sringeri Math, Lord Chaitanya, actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Lord Chaitanya visited so many holy places. He's only mentioning a few. And even them, they're not in chronological order. So I'm very happy about that. It makes my narration much easier to tell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to a place. Malaradesh. Does everyone know what happened at Malaradesh? That was where they came across a nomadic tribe called the Bataharis. Yes. These Bataharis, they were, how do you pronounce it? Yes. They were, Prabhupada explains, they dressed like sannyasis. They pretended to be sannyasis just to exploit and cheat innocent people. And by tantric, yogic means, which are in the modes of ignorance and passion, they would somehow or other seduce beautiful young ladies to join their tribe. Take them away from home. And then they would use those beautiful young ladies to recruit, by seduction, young men. And once anybody came into their association, they were such powerful people. They had some mystic cities. And they also were so deeply engrossed in sense gratification that their association would contaminate people's hearts. And their tribe was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So one morning, Lord Chaitanya's own servant, Kala Krishnadas, was attracted by the Bataharis. Early in the morning, without even saying anything to Lord Chaitanya, he left him to join. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
came right behind him. He entered into the camp of these Bhattaharis.
And with respect, he said, "You are all sannyasis, and I am also a sannyasi. So why are you causing me this trouble? Why have you taken away my personal assistant and caused me this grief? You please return him right away." They were such vicious dacoits that when Lord Chaitanya respectfully asked him just to give back the assistant, they picked up deadly weapons and ran to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to injure him. But as soon as they ran to the Lord with their weapons, the weapons fell from their hands and started slicing, stabbing, and chopping their own limbs.
Hare Krishna.
It's a glorious event. They're running and the weapons are running behind them, chopping off their arms, chopping off their legs, stabbing them. And the Bhattaharis were just getting all, their limbs were being severed and blood everywhere. And people were, the others who were not getting sliced by weapons, they saw it and they all just started screaming and roaring and running in all the four directions away from the weapons, and everyone was just running away from the weapons as the weapons were chasing them. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the middle of this total chaos in the tribe of Bhattaharis, he grabbed Kal Krishna by the hair and brought him back to his lotus feet.
Hare Krishna.
That is the mercy of the Lord.
Now, in a later chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada describes,
this is how powerful Maya is. This is how powerful the objects of the senses are. Even a man who is in constant association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful, magnanimous of all avatars. Now please understand, all these millions of people that Lord Chaitanya is converting to Prema Bhakti, Kal Krishna is watching it all. He's a constant associate of the Lord. He's watching Lord Chaitanya dancing through the groves. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Hey, Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Hey. Kal Krishna, he's seeing Lord Chaitanya day after day, month after month. By this time, almost a year have passed. He's with Lord Chaitanya day and night. He's seeing all these people, just ordinary, mundane, sinful people, just with tears of ecstasy in their eyes, dancing and in love of God and going out and preaching the message of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. He's seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating the Buddhists, defeating the Jains, defeating the Mayavadis. He's seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting all these thousands of temples and in ecstasy dancing and worshiping the Lord. How would you like to be Kal Krishna Das? Unbelievable mercy he received. The personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assisting Lord Chaitanya in the greatest preaching mission of his incarnation career, his trip in South India. But Srila Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up, whoever you are. Do not ever be proud. Because one of the things that happens when you're proud is you make offenses. And the other thing
is you become inattentive. Krishna says in Gita, avoid lethargy and egotism. They are both very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada explains, one must be very attentive. Attentive to follow the four regulative principles. Attentive to have proper etiquette and behavior. And especially attentive to chant attentively the vow we have taken to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. Because if we become lax or lethargic, Prabhupada says, at any moment Maya can drag us down. Even if you are the personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the power of Maya. We should understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu orchestrated this pastime to teach us an essential message for our spiritual survival. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is like razor's edge. If you're inattentive, there's blood. We must be attentive. We must understand the power of Maya. And we must understand that we're just jivatmas. Constitutionally, we're infinitesimal. And Maya is all powerful. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Unless we're really taking shelter of Krishna, Maya will overcome us. And taking shelter is not something that happens automatically. Taking shelter is something that has to seriously come from our heart. You can't take shelter unless you understand the need for shelter. Coming before God, we must understand the need. Maya, the illusory energy, has been kicking us since time immemorial. Birth after birth after birth. Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, Adibhautika. She's very powerful. We have to hold on to the name of Krishna. We have to hold on to the mercy of Krishna. The example is given, and this is the way a devotee should actually feel. You've fallen from a cliff. Do you remember when we went to the Ugrastamba in Ahovalam? Yes? Do you remember how high that was? It's really high. Practically kilometers down. And you're just looking. It's so immense how far it is that when you look at it, you just get dizzy seeing how far down. Well, you've fallen from a cliff like that, and you're just hanging on to a rope. Just hanging on to a rope, waiting for someone to save you. Now, how much attention are you going to squeeze that rope? You're not thinking, oh, you know. You can't be half-hearted, or you're going to fall. The same way you would squeeze that rope with your full attention, that's how we have to be taking shelter of Krishna. Because there's a great need. Maya is very strong. If we are inattentive, we will be lost. It is simply a fact. And that is why the association of devotees are so important. Because they keep our focus, they keep our attention on the path of perfection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dragged Kal Krishnadas by the hair. He was inattentive. Even in his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, somehow or other, he must have become familiar and inattentive. He wasn't taking shelter. And the objects of the senses, the Bhataharis, who represent the illusory energy, stole him away. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dragged him back by the hair. That is why we need the association of devotees. Those who are really our friends, when they see us getting inattentive and becoming attracted to the things of Maya, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our real friends will drag us back by the hair. Bansha kalpataruvyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patithanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Thus we need the association of devotees. Because Lord Chaitanya is not personally here to drag us back, but his devotees are his representatives. Never think you're too advanced that you don't need the shelter of the Vaishnavas. Because the more advanced we are, the more humble we feel. And the more humble we feel, the more we cry out in desperation the names of Krishna. And in doing so, we feel the ecstatic bliss of Krishna's presence as we cry out his holy name. That was very good. Please do again. Another thing we can understand from this story is the representatives of the illusory energy, Bhataharis, they are personifying those who are, for their own selfish purposes, to satisfy their own egos, they're becoming the enemies of God. They're going against the will of God. They're trying to exploit the property of God. That is the materialistic mentality, to exploit what is meant for the pleasure of God. But what happens to such persons? The very creations, whatever we do that is against the will of God, that very thing comes back to destroy us. Yes? We're creating atomic nuclear weapons. Yes? If we're not God conscious, it's just going to come back at us. We're creating pollution. The whole karma of the world is just reactions. We're creating situations that just come right back to destroy us. And we're thinking that those things are going to help us to progress in our life. Yes? Materialistic persons, their weapons are the things that they have that they feel will protect them. But ultimately the opposite takes place. So let us not join the Bhattahari camp and become like that. Let us keep ourselves always in the shelter of the Lord through his devotees and through his holy names. Because we have to end at 8:30, it is my suggestion that we have wonderful Sankirtan performance. Last night we were cut very early. Would you like to do Kirtan now? And we will continue narration tomorrow at Rishabh Hill. Thank you very, very much.